Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast, episode number 238. Larry here.
And Anthony here.
And you, did you move again? What happened here?
Yeah, you know, the Hyrule was a little too depressing for me.
too many chickens?
Yeah, they're all very violent.
They are. It's very,
They really are.
It's strain like, of chicken.
Like I had to go vegan for a couple of weeks.
Wow, that's tough.
Yeah, it was really, I couldn't even eat the eggs. So yeah, I went vegan for a couple of weeks and then got fed up and moved.
All right. So I see you're in a, looks like a more brighter, maybe happier times.
Yeah. You know, I figured, you know, once you go, you know, like once you go castle, you really can't go backwards. So, so I just thought I'd hop over to another castle.
Excellent. It seems almost like maybe it was already occupied. I see a large, mural there.
Oh yeah. Don't worry. She's gone.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, this giant turtle guy took care of her. So I'm good.
That turtle guy. You got to be on the lookout.
Yeah, I think he was the fifth Ninja Turtle that got thrown out of the group, and he's just bitter.
No, sixth. The fifth one is Venus de Milo.
Oh, I'm sorry, the sixth. Who can forget Venus? Oh, wait, I did.
A lot of the world did. So, all right. Well, Anton, a new abode again, and I'm back here, and we're back for the Retro Gamers Podcast. So, Anthony was out last week, clearly having to move, and
I had to move, and you know, I had some very special officiating to do last weekend. So,
oh yes, that was interesting. It was fun though. And congratulations,
Diana and Jamie. You know,
wait a minute.
What?
Wasn't that the guy that helped you with the Virtual Boy?
Yes.
With my Virtual Boy?
You mean the one who helped me deliver your birthday present? Yes. Yes, he was my co-conspirator. And now I can honestly say that as thanks for him doing that for me, I got to officiate his wedding.
I'm going to get a lawyer in touch with your wife. No. Well, congratulations, in all honesty. Yes, Anthony. Anthony done good this weekend, so.
I did last weekend. It was nice. So, but it's great to be back.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's great to be back.
So. And, you know, yes. I one of the few times I missed you, that was not being on the episode. Last week was the 25th anniversary of the N64.
Came out in Japan. Why do you think I moved to this castle this week? You know,
good point. Actually, you know what? Didn't even put two and two together on that one yet. All right,
no,
cool.
I know. You've always been the slower.
It takes me a little while. Okay.
It's fine. I don't mind a 3 week delay.
I'm used to it by now.
Yes.
So, you know, last week when I was going through, and I did a very different type of episode last week for those of you who didn't watch it on YouTube or Instagram, basically I just put a bunch of overlay because I'm not really that good at video editing. So I just took a whole bunch of game clips and N64 commercials and everything and just laid it through and talked over it. And my intention was to give my memories of the N64, what we do a lot on the show, which is what I love about this show and a lot of people love about our podcast is us reminiscing about these games. But when I started getting into it, and I'll admit nothing was scripted, I just kind of just went off. I knew what kind of games I was going to talk about, but otherwise I just went, and I didn't realize until I was like halfway through recording I have a lot of memories, like personal memories connected to the Nintendo 64, some of which isn't even gameplay, so which I thought was really cool. Of course you can all go back and hear it. But a lot of that memory is from us back in the day, 25 years ago, for us, 25 years ago in September. But 25 years ago, getting the N64, and then that, because of the built-in four players, I think majority is the reason for that.
Yeah.
Me, you, and all of our friends, our group, played majority of the Nintendo 64, probably more than any of the other systems. And give me some of your memories. It doesn't even have to be like a game, just fond memories associated and of the N64.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, well, and just to add to what you just said, I mean, the benefit of the Nintendo 64 was it was specifically built for four players. You had the four ports on the front, and the games that they designed were specifically for four players, which is why that was probably the system we all played most often mm-hmm. together because there were always more than two of us.
There were.
You know, it was usually you and three Anthonys.
Yeah, basically. I was the only non-Anthony. And amazingly enough, not all three of them were Italian, but be that as it may.
True. Yeah. I think two were. two out of three ain't bad.
That's that is true.
That's what Meatloaf said.
That is true.
I mean, my favorite memories, there are so many of them. Like, literally the first one is standing online September 29th, 1996, with my mom, mm-hmm. buying the Nintendo 64 a month earlier than my birthday. That was my birthday gift of the year.
Yes.
And I had to explain to my mother at the time why I needed to get it on launch day, because this was the first system that I purchased that I wanted to get on launch day, because I knew mm-hmm. it was going to sell out. So I'm like, because my mom was like, I'll get it for your birthday. And I'm like, yeah, I go, but there won't be any available on my birthday. I was like, so can we just get it now? Then you're going to want something a month from now on your birthday. I'm like, no, I was like, at the time, I think I was turning 18. So
1996.
Yeah, I was turning 18.
Yeah.
So I told her, I said, no. I go, I'm not that type of kid where it's like, oh, I didn't get it. I was like, let's just buy it today.
Meh, I'm going to be an adult. I'll do what I want.
Meh, I want my N64. So I still remember going to Nobody Beats the Wiz.
Oh, you went to the Wiz. I would have thought you went to Toys R Us.
No, went to the Wiz.
Okay.
Because the Wiz was closer than Toys R Us from where I live.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bit closer. So we went, and I also assumed I'd have a better shot at getting at the Wiz than at Toys R Us, because everybody flocked to Toys R Us.
I was at Toys R Us.
You were at Toys R Us. Yep. And I was at the Wiz and got there, went to the Wiz, got my N64, and then I had both games in my hand. Well, I didn't have both. I just had the one. Mario 64 was the one I wanted, obviously. But then I see Pilot Wings sitting up there. And I had never played Pilot Wings on the Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. So I really wasn't that familiar with the game. I just knew that these were the only two launch games. So I'm like, I go, should I just ask for both? And now, remember at the time, N64 games were $80.
Oh, they were, no, cartridges were a lot more expensive. Yeah.
They were $80 at the time.
Easily, so, 70, 80, yeah.
So my mom was awesome. She bought me both, which was really cool. Right. No, it was really cool.
Totally.
That's an expensive gift.
No, I agree.
But in her mind, like, turning 18 was a big deal for me. So she wanted to do something nice. And I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, I go, I'm not, I was never the kid who like wanted a party or any of that type of stuff. So I told her, I said, just get me this. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not you. But you want all of it. You want the party and the stuff.
I'm still mad. The coronavirus ruined my 40th birthday party.
Yes, so it did.
Be that as it may.
It specifically came out to
ruin. I think it did. That was totally. It knew what I wanted to do.
Yeah. So it didn't help much with 41 either.
No. So, well, no. It was a little easier, but yeah.
Yeah. So So I just remember getting it the first day, bringing it home, and then not even touching Pilot Wings for a couple of weeks because Mario 64 was so amazing. Like, I just remember, like, I probably spent like the first hour running around just mm-hmm. like enjoying the fact that I had a 3D Mario game and he got to do all this cool stuff and learning all the things that he could do. It was just fun to do that. Forget about running up and doing the, you know, jumping in the paintings, doing the map. Just running around as Mario, that first experience, it like gave me goosebumps because I'm like, this is like the coolest thing ever.
Did you have a PlayStation before the N64?
No.
Okay.
No, yeah, I went from Super Nintendo and Genesis to the N64. Then I got a PlayStation after that. Okay. Even though I think the PlayStation had been out for like almost a year at that point.
Probably, just about. Yeah. I tell the story about I got the system, but all the games were sold out. So I had the system mm-hmm. for a solid week with no video games. It was just sitting there. I unboxed it too, but it was just sitting there. What were your initial thoughts on the controller?
The controller was definitely strange. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, growing up with the controllers that we had, there was never anything that was even remotely close to this. And now, granted, like if you think back, we did have some weird controllers. Like if you had the NES Advantage, that was a bit odd.
Oh yeah.
You know, with a big joystick, or if you had an Intellivision, you know, with the number pad, you know, there were definitely some odd controllers, but this one, like far and away, it's like, you know, you leave it to Nintendo to like develop something that is so out there. So you get this controller that just looks like, you know, weird. It's just weird. It's a whole like, I don't have three hands. How am I supposed to do this? But once you understood, and this was Nintendo's first foray into an analog joystick as well. But once you understood that the crosshair or the gamepad, whatever you want to call it, D-pad, sorry. I always call it like 10 different things. And crosshair always comes up first for some reason.
Well, because it looks like a crosshair, but it
looks like a crosshair. But yeah, the D-pad really didn't serve the function that it used to.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah, it switched over to the analog stick. And the cool thing about it, and I think this is the reason why Nintendo included it for the most part, is if you were not comfortable with the analog stick, you essentially could use the D-pad in a lot of the games.
Some games, yes.
Some games it served the same function. Mm-hmm. Other games it didn't. But at least you kind of had the ability to switch between the two. But once you put that D-pad aside, it really was the analog stick and then the buttons, obviously, that where your hands went. So once you got used to that, like it was a surprise to me. Mm-hmm. It was a surprisingly comfortable controller.
Very right. Very ergodynamic.
Yeah, it's very ergodynamic. The only issue with it that I had was that the L button was so far away.
Oh, because
where your hands were with the analog stick, that L button was a bit of a distance.
But usually that would transition, most games, that would transition to the Z button. Because I was mentioning how, like,
yes,
and I know you didn't play it, but GoldenEye, that mm-hmm. controller was absolutely perfect for GoldenEye. Because the way you held the controller, it felt like you had a gun in your hand with mm-hmm. where the Z trigger was, right underneath your finger. I do want to give just a quick shout out for a correction of mine, because I said last week that really, like, there was almost no games. Now, I didn't mean literally, but there was almost no games that I played that used the D-pad for control. But a good friend of the show, Felix, and please, I want to give a shout out to his company, Flexo Productions.
Nice.
Yes, check all that out. There we go, Flexo Productions. He pointed out to me, he's like, Schmuck, every wrestling video game used the D-pad.
That's correct.
I was like, oh yeah. And here I am talking like the games that really got me and Anthony and all our friends together. No Mercy, WWE Revenge. And then I'm like, D-pad, no one uses that. So yes.
I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, yeah, for the wrestling games, it was always the D-pad because the analog stick activated the special move.
Not only that, which game, and it was either the two WCW games or the two WWE games, which game had the, I don't know if it was left in by accident, if it was a glitch, but the one where when you flick the analog stick, you kicked out of every pin attempt, no matter how low your energy was. Right. And I remember I didn't tell any of you guys this, and I kept kicking out for like an hour, and someone finally put two and two together.
Yeah, I was gonna say, was it World Tour?
It might have been the WCW game. I felt like it was a WWE game, but it might have been WrestleMania 2000.
It might have been WrestleMania 2000.
So. But
yeah, I'll leave it to you. Well, I mean, the only way you could win is if you cheated.
Wow.
Because am I wrong?
Oh, and do you remember the Goldberg rule?
No.
That's
right. We all hated him. So, yeah.
So yes. If he entered a battle royal, because it was the battle royal in WCW game,
yes,
immediately gone.
Yes. Yeah. Our job was, it didn't matter if we were fighting each other. Our job was to team up against him and throw him out. And we did hold to that.
We did. And finally, I got to imagine one of your favorite games on the system, Ocarina of Time. Just your thoughts when you experienced that. And we've talked about it in the past, but just real quick, again, your memory of this game or when you got it.
As the definitive Zelda fan or fanatic. I wouldn't say I'm fanatic. I still haven't played them all yet.
No, you're not there. It's borderline.
No, I'm borderline. Borderline crazy. But yeah, as a huge Zelda fan, putting in that game from literally just the very simple opening to the game, like the mm-hmm. like the opening sequence of the title screen, you already knew that this was going to be something different. And then just like, again, it's like when it came out, I was already used to the 3D because of Mario.
It was a couple of years later. It came out in 98. Yeah.
Yeah, so was it 98? I thought
Yeah, it was. I
97.
checked.
It was
Yeah, it was
98.
88.
Okay. So yeah, so it came out a couple of years later. So we're already in the throes of like, you know, how Mario 64 was awesome. So I'm like, ooh, they're doing something similar with Zelda. But now Zelda obviously doesn't run like a Mario 64 game because it's a, you know, it's kind of an action adventure, almost RPG. Not really. It's a bit more action
Exactly.
adventure. So just, you know, I just remember like going through the Lost Woods and talking to the Deku Tree and all that stuff. It was just like, I was already like, this is like the best game I've ever played. And it was just the beginning. And then just going through the entire adventure, I'm like, okay, not only was that worth every minute of my time, that might possibly have been the best game I've ever played, period.
Fair enough.
And a lot of critics will agree with me. I did do some research in terms of like little fun facts about the
Yeah,
N64.
no, let's talk about it. Yeah.
You know, we'll get to that. Well, I'll get into more details on that.
Okay.
But Ocarina of Time, technically, if you're going by critics, is the best game of all time. Because if we go to Metacritic, because what Metacritic does is it combines all of the critic
Everything.
reviews
They're kind of like
together.
Rotten Tomatoes almost.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time has a, you know, the Metacritic review, the culmination of all the reviews, is a 99 out of 100, which no other
Wow.
game has. So if you want to argue what is the best game of all time and you go off of what critics have reviewed, it is still Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Fair enough.
So, and to be honest with you, it's hard to argue that. It's like, again, it's one of the best games I've ever played. Absolutely loved it. I did want to touch just on a couple of other memories
Yeah.
of the N64.
Go for it.
One, of course, Mario Kart.
Yes, I didn't talk about that
No,
much.
you didn't talk
Yeah.
about like our Mario Kart games were epic.
Yep.
Battle mode, the four player battle
Oh,
mode in Mario Kart 64,
yes.
we had a blast on
Yep.
that. It was awesome. Always loved it. Got to talk about Mario Party,
Yeah, which I touched on, but
which I'm
yeah.
sure you touched on. You know, and I don't know if none of us still have the
I don't know.
scars,
Yeah,
right?
I'm checking.
It's
I
like
don't
just
not
check
me.
your hand for the
Oh, maybe. I
scar.
don't know. I see a circle.
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
don't
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's the reason why one of my lifelines is shorter than it used to be. It actually so
Probably, right?
yeah. But yeah, just the foreplay of Mario Party games. I mean, the introduction of like the whole mini game idea and whatnot, like that was like monumental to us, where it's like, oh, it's just a whole bunch of short, fun games, which was really cool. And then of course, you got to talk about the wrestling games because those were probably the ones that we played the most. Huge
We
wrestling
did, yeah.
fans. You know how everybody notoriously loved to gang up on me because I was so damn good at the game.
I didn't talk about that last week. I was gonna let that
Yep.
go. I was gonna
No,
let
I
that
mean,
slide.
look, it's a part of our history, right?
There is an epic moment where, yes, during a Royal Rumble, we might have ganged up on Anthony,
The entire
and
time.
the
The
entire
entire time.
Rumble, and it was his home, is his system, because we all hung out at his house.
Yep.
And there might still, to this day, whoever owns the home now, might still see a small dent in the wall from a red N64 controller being hurled through space because just frustration finally tipped over.
Yes. I will have you know I still own that red
Do
controller
you really?
and yes, it still works.
Yeah, it took a pounding, man. That bumped.
I do remember the day of the
That was a
throwing
rage quit.
controller.
Yeah.
That see that was rage quitting before rage quitting was a
This is
thing.
true. Yeah, no, you invented rage quitting.
I that's
Congratulations.
it. That's it. Copyright. Mine.
Let me get your thought.
So
And yeah, no, the wrestling games were phenomenal,
yes.
and we used to create wrestlers just off the top of our heads,
Yep.
and that mode was very fun.
Always.
But yeah, no, the wrestling games definitely was what brought us together. Let me ask you this, though. I don't know if you ever did this because I talked about it on GoldenEye, but now that I think about it, it worked on Mario Kart 64. Now, today's called co-op, couch co-op. Back then,
Yep.
it was just called playing with friends.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of younger kids, younger listeners, those who only play multiplayer online are aware that when we played multiplayer, not the wrestling games, but like Mario Kart or GoldenEye, the screen was split into four boxes. So you
Yep.
saw everyone's gameplay, and at
Yeah.
one point, like in GoldenEye, part of the strategy was to look at to see the other boxes
To see
to
where
see
everybody
where they
is.
were. And we kind of did that. I know I incorporated that when playing Mario Kart, when we do the battle modes.
Oh yeah. No, absolutely. Like I would always remember, well, even in the race modes, like I would try, I would position my cart to be like directly in front of somebody if mm-hmm. I knew you were right behind me to drop a banana. So mm-hmm. I knew you would slip. I mean, there was definitely strap or, you know, shooter shell behind yeah. you, whatever it was. Yeah, that was always part of the strategy. That was, yeah.
So, yeah. So
I just assumed everybody did that.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of felt like in GoldenEye, just because, again, that whole idea of couch co-op and everyone playing multiplayer on the same screen. You know, nowadays you just, you know, you're so used to your own screen to try and sneak around mm-hmm. that probably some people didn't realize if you're young enough that, yeah, we saw everything. It was just all on the same screen and we never yep. thought anything of it.
Yeah, no, very true. But again, that just played into the strategy.
Oh, of course.
And yep. you know, people who, you know, like kids today, to your point, or people who only do multiplayer online stuff, it's like you really are missing out on just the fun of what couch co-op is. Because not only is it just like, you know, doing that, it's like, you know, seeing the screen split and everything like that, but it's also like, you know, you're hanging out with your friends in real life.
Exactly.
You know? And there's a lot more banter and fun. And,
oh, totally. Know? And just, yeah. you know, just seeing people. That's what it was. You know, there was no internet yeah. back then.
Well, I mean, God, I mean, think about all the like freaking Domino's pizza we ingested. Just
coagulating inside of us still.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know how many miles I've had to run to get rid of that? I think I'm still working on it.
I still got it. But, you know, couch, and that's kind of what the Intellivision is going to be all about with the yes. Amico. It's really yeah. about couch co-op and everything. So, but we'll get into that yeah. whenever I get that system.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, I mean, those are just some of my N64 mm-hmm. memories. There are tons.
Good.
There are tons to go over, but again, I mean, and again, a lot of those memories also probably the most important ones are like, that's really when, you know, our friendship kind of grew, because, you know, we had met in high school just a couple years prior. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's really where I think like, you know, we bonded over, video gaming and wrestling, of course, but you know, but
exactly,
but the N64 was that prevalent system that kind of got us all together, which mm-hmm. was really cool.
Yep. And that was also like my crossover. Now that I think about it, like my crossover as well, because, you know, I played a lot of that in college as well. And then during the summer mm-hmm. times when I was home, come back to you guys. And now I got like these two different worlds and like seeing like the two different gameplays and everything yeah. like that. But you know, totally, you know, started with us with the Super Nintendo and then moved on to the N64. And, you know, here we are so many years later, almost 30 years.
Almost. Yeah. We're getting there. We're closing in on it. Oh, yeah, no, don't
hurt.
Don't remind me.
So
right, yeah, I was just gonna say, I go, I feel the same that I did 30 years ago, except for all the pain.
So all right.
You know, my hair is still okay.
And yes, mine is too. It's just messy. That's why I wear the hats. It's still there.
Yeah, exactly. Me. Well, the color's a little off, that's all.
No, actually, to be fair, the color might be the same. This started happening in seventh grade.
No, that's right. You know what? You're actually right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Maybe not as much now, but
yeah, it has spread. It has spread just a tad. But that's okay. I'm catching up a little bit on the side. So.
Yeah, I can tell. Okay.
No, you can't. I thought I plucked them off. So anyway, I know you talked about N64 last week, but I just wanted to touch on a few things.
Absolutely.
I did do a little research.
Okay.
On like just little fun facts here and there.
Yeah.
Just a few things to throw out there. First off, the N64 was the last major home console to use a cartridge-based system as a primary storage until we got the Switch in 2017.
Okay.
Sony never had a cartridge-based system. Sega, obviously, you know, they don't make consoles anymore, but
they had already gone away.
Yeah. They had already gone away once they had the Saturn. And then of course, Microsoft, Xbox never mm-hmm. even went near that. So,
you know, real quick, just to mention, not to deep dive into it, but I do remember when the N64 was announced, I kind of remember going, oh, that's weird. They're still doing cartridges.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read the book, not Console Wars, Game Over. I read the book and then realized they kept selling cartridges because the only company selling cartridges was Nintendo to the publishers. So the publishers would have to buy an X number of cartridges. So Nintendo was making money no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a strategy on their part.
Oh, no, totally.
You know, and it worked. And it worked really well. It was also harder to pirate a cartridge game.
Correct.
Because you remember PlayStation, Saturn, and all that stuff, they were all victim, even Dreamcast, you know, they were all victim of piracy.
Absolutely.
So, Nintendo got away with it on that one. And then they got away with it again kind of sort of with the GameCube because they decided to create mini discs instead of full discs.
It's like we're not there yet. We're going to hold out as long as possible.
We're gonna fight to the end. We will fight to the end. So, you know, and speaking of the GameCube was released in September 2001. Mm-hmm. But the Nintendo 64 was still on the shelf at the time. And unlike previous iterations where I believe the systems were taken off the shelf before the next one came out, mm-hmm. the N64 stayed in market until late 2003. So Nintendo had two systems overlapping for 2 years.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, which is really interesting.
Yep.
The N64, when it was in the design phase, you know how they always have like these weird names?
Oh, I remember.
Code names to them. Do you remember the code name to N64?
Dolphin.
No.
Ultra 64.
No.
Oh, all right.
No, Ultra 64 was actually what it was being called in Japan.
Dolphin was GameCube.
Dolphin was GameCube. No, it was originally codenamed Project Reality.
Ooh, yes. No, I do remember that now. Okay, mm-hmm. Yep.
As we talked about, the console launched with two games in the US, which was Super Mario 64 and Pilot Wings 64. Mm-hmm. Japan got a third game, which I don't even think I can pronounce.
It's so vulgar.
Saikyo Habu Shogi, or Shoji. Hmm. Not sure which way to say that.
All right.
And I've never heard of that game, so I have no idea what it's about. Let's see, what else can we say? It was one of the first systems to really offer a console with different colors. You know? So, you were able to, like, I remember, like, the clear one. I remember the blue one.
Yeah,
the ice blue.
Blue, clear green, clear yellow, I think, clear red.
Yeah.
The gold one that came out eventually. Then you had the Pikachu edition. They had a lot of, you're right. Never came out with a, I don't know if it's part of your list. We never got like a mini, and like we got like a redesigned Nintendo, Super Nintendo, never got a redesigned N64.
No, never did. It was just as is. Mm-hmm. And I bet there's a reason why. I'll tell you in a second. In the US, it launched for $199.99. It was only $200 for the console, which when you think about that today is
nothing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like $200. But again, the cartridges were like $80. But here's the reason why maybe we didn't get a mini version of it, mm-hmm. Or, you know, like a more compact version of it, like they tend to do. In the US, the N64 sold 32.93 million units worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
In Japan, the Nintendo 64 wasn't very successful. It only sold about 5.5 million units.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well, here's why. One of the reasons why they believe it didn't sell that much is because there weren't any JPRGs on it. And Japan is a very RPG-heavy culture with video games.
They like their stories.
They love story-based games. N64 didn't really have RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
So when you remove that element, it wasn't as appealing to, you know, to Japanese players. That's one of the reasons why they target it, mm-hmm. because what other reason? Like usually anything, you know, Japan is like one of those cultures where it's like, they, you know, they're very homegrown.
Yeah.
So it's like, they'll buy their homegrown stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that's why Microsoft doesn't do very well mm-hmm. in Japan, because Japan will buy Sony instead of Microsoft. So, and Nintendo always does well in Japan. So this was kind of an anomaly on that front.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. Let's see, what else can I say? We talked about it being the first analog stick for Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Mario Party thing, which everybody seems to know about. The special edition consoles that came out, which were interesting. We talked about like the different color ones, but then remember for Pokemon, mm-hmm. there was a blue and an orange Pikachu edition.
Yeah, I think the reset button was his toe or something like that. His foot.
Yeah, something like that. There was a battle Pokemon battle set version, because Pokemon Pokemon blew up in Japan.
Yeah.
So there was a jungle green edition when Donkey Kong 64 was released, and then you talked about the Toys R Us exclusive gold edition.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Donkey Kong 64, which I just brought up, Donkey Kong 64 holds the title for the longest amount of gameplay of any N64 game.
Really?
And the reason why, and I have to switch to another list because I saw something in here. Okay, so one of the reasons why is because Donkey Kong 64 holds the record for having the highest number of collectibles in a game.
Oh, really?
So you can your completion percentage in Donkey Kong 64 can hit 101%.
Oh boy.
And it involves collecting 3,821 unique collectibles in the game, which is a world record.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I don't think I've ever played that game. I don't think I had it.
Donkey Kong 64.
Oh, no, I did have it. Yeah, no, I did have it.
Donkey Kong 64 was amazing.
That's the game that came with the expansion card.
Yep.
Yeah, the RAM card. I mean.
So, okay. Yeah, so over 3,800 collectibles in one game, which is
that's a lot.
Crazy. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Nintendo released about 400 games for the system during its lifespan. Mm-hmm. The final Nintendo 64 cartridge ever made. Do you remember what the last game was?
I'm not even going to venture to guess. I feel like it was maybe a Mario Party or something.
No, it was released in 2002. It was actually Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Oh, wow. Really? The first one?
The first Tony Hawk Pro Skater was released in 2002 on the N64. Yeah, okay. I remember there was a big delay on Nintendo mm-hmm. for Tony Hawk.
Kind of like now.
Yeah, basically. And it turns out it was the last game, official game
interesting.
Released.
Okay.
Yeah. Another interesting thing, this is just a regional-based thing. So at the end of World War II, this is interesting, I didn't know this. South Korea banned Japanese cultural imports. So when the N64 was released, it actually wasn't available in South Korea because it was banned.
The ban was still going on. Okay.
The ban was still going on in the 90s.
Boy, they don't forget.
I don't know if it's still going on today, but because of this, it was released by Hyundai.
Okay.
Hyundai and rebranded as the Comboy 64. So that's how South Korea got it. It had to be created by a Korean company.
That is wild. Yep. It had to be created. It had to be created again.
Yep, basically. You talked about the 64 disk drive, which mm-hmm. never came out in the US. It only wound up coming out in Japan. Mm-hmm. But the disk drive actually had an online service.
I think we touched on that once before.
Yeah, for like $25 a month, you were able to download demos and compete online. Of course, Japan only. Never made it out.
But of course.
Yep. So, funny story about that too. Do you remember Netscape?
Yes, I do. Yes.
The online site. Okay. Yep. So the founder of Netscape actually proposed to Nintendo to create an online service for the N64. And they were in discussions to make a deal with the guy who wound up founding Netscape. But then Nintendo backed out and said, nah, we'll just make it ourselves.
We're good.
Yeah, basically.
They always end up backing out, and then whoever they were going to work with just goes off becomes the PlayStation.
Their own thing. Yeah. Yep. Let's see. Oh, Mario Kart 64 was originally planned to be a launch title.
Oh, okay.
Got delayed in development and wound up coming out at Christmas time, which worked out anyway.
Which works perfect, yeah.
Yep. First 3 days, the N64 was on the market. Retailers sold 350,000 of the 500,000 units available.
Nice.
And then it took about 4 months for the other 150 to sell. So about within 4 months, they had 500,000 units sold in North America, which is pretty good. Let's see. Within the first full year, 3.6 million units sold.
Wow.
Let's see. We talked about the controller plenty. GoldenEye 64, which you had mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this before on the show, but just to throw it in, since it's an N64 fact, the multiplayer mode in GoldenEye was added at the last minute.
I think I've heard that stat. Yeah.
Yeah. And the programmer when the programmer was interviewed, he actually said they put it in the game in the last minute without Rare or Nintendo knowing about it.
Yes, that I've heard.
Yeah. So the first time Nintendo and Rare saw it, it was already too late to go back and take it out. So they had to release the game with it.
Don't.
And obviously, the rest is history with that multiplayer. And then let's see, what else can I throw at you? The Rumble Pack was introduced with Star Fox 64. When you bought that game, you got that. Let's see, the Mario Party Sports Club.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tony, it was when I said
Tony Hawk
Tony
2,
Hawk.
right?
No, it was three.
Oh,
Sorry,
three.
three
I
was
was
the
because I could,
last one.
I'm like, when
My
you said
bad.
to, I didn't want to, I didn't want to jump on it, but I'm like, I'm pretty
No,
sure I own
backtrack.
two. Okay, fair enough.
No. It was Tony Hawk three.
Okay.
And this is another little did you know? Paper Mario for the N64, which you have played and loved.
Yes,
This
it
will be
was
the
a fun
last
game.
thing I throw at you. Yeah, very fun game. It originally started out as Super Mario RPG 2.
I believe that because, yeah, because it, well, it's an RPG basically. Yeah.
And then they just turned it into Paper Mario.
Cool.
And I think that's everything I wanted to share about this
All
one.
righty.
But lots
Excellent.
of stuff, lots and lots of stuff. Really cool. Oh, this is a cute little thing. If you played Super Smash Brothers
Which I
on
did not on the
N64,
N64. I did not like Super Smash Brothers in the beginning.
I don't remember playing
You
it.
loved it.
No, wait, I did play it. I didn't. I never bought Melee, but I
Oh,
loved
okay, yeah.
the original Super. In the original Super Smash Brothers, you only had eight playable characters to start, and then you unlocked four other ones. But the eight players on the screen were actually placed in chronological order of their debuts in video games,
Oh,
which I
that's
thought was
cool.
kind of cool.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So it was like, that was just kind of cool to
Huh.
look at.
Okay.
That is it for my N64 recap, which
All
I know
right.
took a long time, but
Episode unto
still,
itself.
yeah. But you know what? It was
It's
cool.
it look, it's part of our lives. You know, like I said, a lot of the memories I talked about last week are were personal memories. Like the very first thing I've ever bought with a credit card was Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time. That is literally the
There you
first
go.
thing I put on credit, and it ruined the rest of my life.
It did ruin the rest of your life, and it was
yeah,
also a game you put on credit that you never finished,
no,
right?
I finished it. No, I finished it.
Oh,
I'm probably
okay.
not done paying for it, but I finished it. So you know, and then you know, just again, our
You'll always be
friendship.
paying for it.
Please. Our friendship just, you know, blooming, blossoming, whatever you want to say, because of the N64. You know, it started with Super Nintendo, but it kicked, you know, went into gear. So, yeah, a lot of personal, not even gaming memories, just personal memories of the N64. So it's a system that touched us. I know it's a system that touches a lot of people out there as well. So again, happy birthday to the Nintendo 64. I'm sure we'll mention it again in September
Of
when
course we will.
our
Just
North
maybe
American. No, not in
not
detail.
in
Not
this
in
great
detail.
detail,
No.
but yes, we will.
All right, cool. I'm glad, Aunt, you're able to talk about all that. I'm very happy to hear it. Because now, I guess I can mention the we can move on to the segment that really seemed to have blown up this week.
What is that?
So
Hit me.
I may have went a little crazy. I got a lot of new games came in.
What? You went shopping for video
So
games? No.
some of it was Kickstarters, but not all of it. So again, I just want to show off some new stuff that I got, and then something interesting about my Dreamcast that I'll mention in a little bit.
I'm afraid to ask.
So let's go through this.
But go for it.
First of all, we got a couple. Let me just move this to the side. Put this over here. Kickstarter. Remember, I was telling you about the Kickstarter where the guy was doing a live stream. And I think I interrupted his live stream and screwed it all
Yes.
up. Well, here's the
Yes.
box. There's the box. Indestructo Tank.
And isn't that the first one off of the
Technically, it
yes?
was the first one off the
Or so he told you.
lineup. Basically. Well, I watched him. I think it's
I
true.
believe it. I believe him.
So, Indestructo Tank, and of course that was created by Anthony Lavelle. Anthony Lavelle created that game. So, very fun game. Basically, again, it's a There we go. Just zoom in,
Yep.
just like that. It was a flash game, and really, that's it's a flash game on the Game Boy. Nothing fancy about it, but very addicting and very fun to play. So, Indestructo Tank.
Cool.
Next up is one that I ordered that I just plumb forgot. All right, so here's what happens: I get in the mail Indestructo Tank. Right, it came from England. So you know, England has you know, you when you order internationally, they you know the shipping label looks very international. What I forgot is when the after Indestructo Tank's Kickstarter ended, you know, you get those Kickstarter surveys. And on that one, which I kind of feel bad about, no, there was no price difference between the two, but you had a choice of either having your game shipped boxed, like this one is, or having it shipped flat, and then you make the box.
And you make the box, yeah.
I remember now selecting flat because I'm like, I don't want the box maybe to get ruined in shipping. That's all. I'll make the box myself.
Right.
And then the live stream happened, and then there he goes. And I completely forgot about it during the live stream. So I get this in the mail, and it's from England. I didn't open it yet. But I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. cool. But I had also got at the exact same time another package from England, which was a little wider and a little slimmer. And then it dawned on me, and I'm like, oh, no. I hope he didn't accidentally send me two. One box, and then as he's going through, it goes, all right, here's one that's on. Because I'm like, oh, that I feel terrible about it. And I didn't get a chance to open it because my friend took in the mail. I was away, and my friend took in the mail, and he's like, yeah, you got two boxes from England. I was like, oh, man. Luckily, it was not another copy of Indestructible.
Okay, good. I was going to say, stop ruining Kickstarter people's lives.
I'm telling you, not my fault. Yes. But it is a game I completely forgot I ordered. It's a game for the Game Boy Color, Doc Cosmos.
Ooh, very nice.
Originally for the Commodore 64.
Nice. I like that.
So, a very fun game. As you can see, there's a little bit of a time travel element.
Yeah.
And what's cool about this is with the time travel...
He's an angry Doc Brown.
He is very, very mad, yes. With the time travel elements, your gameplay differs between the eras. And the eras, like modern looks like a modern game, and the past looks like a Commodore 64 game with the graphics.
Very cool.
So very cool game, only on the Game Boy Color.
Nice.
And it's from the company, I don't know if you're aware of the game Xenocrisis.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, so same company, Bitmap Soft.
Nice.
Put that out. Created by Simon Jameson. Those are the two Game Boy games I have now, but I've been all about new Game Boy games because they're coming out left and right.
Yeah.
In fact,
do you play these games more than 5 minutes?
Well, Indestructo Tank is again, that's just very repetitive, but it's fun to play for a quick game.
Yeah.
Doc Cosmos, definitely you can play longer. It's got a story to it. You know, because I pop them in. As much as I play them,
I'm just asking because you buy so many games. Oh, I'm like, how much time do you actually put into each one?
Back in the day, it would have been very minimal. Now I have a little more awareness of, you know, to be able to play. So
okay,
but there
just gotta ask because I worry.
Get you and my parents. The Game Boy must be just easy to code for because there are so many new Game Boy games coming out. I just pre-ordered one literally yesterday. It's an M, well, it's not rated, but it would have been an M-rated game called Pine Creek.
Okay.
For the Game Boy. And the game includes blood, scenes of violence, and adult themes. It is for an audience of 18 and older. You know, there's like sacrifices, devil rituals in this game, and it's a Game Boy. Geez.
Okay.
Yeah, very, very interesting. The disappearance of a young girl in a previously quiet small town raises the popular belief that a cult is behind the crime and many other ritual killings before her.
Wow.
And that's a Game Boy game. So I just ordered that from Incubate Games. I also have on Game Boy game called Genesis that's coming out in October, which is a vertical shooter. Mm-hmm. So Game Boy's all, and then I think I've mentioned it before. I think I've said it. I've opened the door again. I've opened the door of friendship to a company that I've kind of given issues to in the past. A company who I thought blocked me, but they ended up not blocking me. I blocked them. They should have. They had every right to. But I am opening the door of friendship to Limited Run Games. I have officially followed...
I love how you're making it sound so dramatic when they have no clue who you are.
They have no idea who I am. No idea. Especially because... And I will be 100% honest on this. When I thought they blocked me, I messaged them. Mm-hmm. And I went, hey, so blah, blah, blah. This, that, and the other thing. I think you guys blocked me because I can't find you on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Any chance you can unblock me? Because I want Rondo of Blood, and I need to be in the know, right?
Yes.
So they respond back, not sure why we would block, but if we did block you, we don't overturn those. So I'm like, uh-oh. But then as I search, I must have kept misspelling Limited Run, because then I finally found him on my block list.
There you go. Of which is really long, I'm assuming.
Very long, very long. So I unblocked them.
I have blocked like maybe two people my entire
life. Know what it
life.
Is now? I block because I always get like those fake accounts I keep
Oh,
following.
yeah.
So
Those
I'm
I
not anymore.
understand. Those I
So
understand.
yeah, so those are my thing. But there's a game coming out through Kickstarter, not through Kickstarter, through Limited Run
Yeah.
called Tailgater on the Game Boy. It's a game from 1991. It's being re-released from Natsume or Natsume. It's a side scroll, it's a platform game. But that goes on sale this Friday the 9th, the pre-order on Limited Run. So I'm starting to slowly kind of I'm going to give Limited Run the credit, and the just deserves that it has, and I'm going to be reviewing more games for them.
How long did it take to come around?
Couple years.
Yeah. And even during that time, you were still buying limited run
One
games from a third party.
game. Jay and Silent Bob Mall Brawl, I didn't realize was going to come from Limited Run when I ordered it.
Right.
And the Star Wars
And then
games I
Star
bought
Wars
off my
games.
friend. I bought off my friend.
Who
I
bought
did
them
not
off of limited run?
buy them from Limited Run. My friend
Doesn't
bought
matter. Doesn't matter. You bought them off limited run. Larry, let's just face it. You lost this battle.
them. Oh, I'm not saying I won. I'm just saying I wrote the truce. And this
Oh,
is the
you wrote the
truce.
truce. The
Yes.
best, yeah, you wrote the truce that didn't that they didn't even know about. So
I'm the bigger man. So
you can't be
literally.
the big. You can't be the bigger man of a one-sided war.
It's gonna come to a head. We're all good to go.
No.
One more Game Boy game that actually I just backed this morning.
My poor
A
kid.
Game Boy game on Kickstarter called Planet Hop. Very original, again, platformer game.
Yeah.
Looks very cool. The guy I think created it with his like 7-year-old daughter or something like
Oh,
that.
nice.
But it looks like a fun gameplay.
Cool.
Planet Hop on Kickstarter. I think it just went up. We'll put the link up if you want to back it.
Nice.
And that's one, two, three, four, five. It's like five Game Boy games. So the Game Boy, I'm loving these new games on Game Boy.
Right. Well, good. Look, as long as you're enjoying them, that's the most important thing.
Totally. But I'm not
You
done.
know, well, and you know, the good news is when you die, your credit card companies
Oh,
can't come
forget
after
about
you,
it.
so you're fine.
There will be a debt when I'm dead.
Yes.
On top of that, I did get some. I picked up some new games. A couple of reproductions, actually, which are very
Okay.
nice because those are a lot cheaper than the originals. I got one here, both for Genesis. First of all, Elemental Master.
Very nice.
Elemental Master has some. It's
Looks
great
good.
vertical. Great vertical.
Very cool.
Very nice. I like the cover art that was printed up as
Yeah.
well, but it is a repro. Another one, Golden Axe 3.
I love the Golden Axe series.
Golden
So
Axe
much fun.
3. Look at
So
that.
much fun.
Looking
Looking
good.
good.
In the neighborhood.
Very cool.
A game. I'm starting to buy Master System games now because I have the adapter
Yep.
on the
Ooh,
analog.
I should buy Master System games since I have a Master System.
Absolutely. And here's one that's supposed to be one of the better games on the Master System. Kensenden. Kensiden.
Ooh, Kensiden.
Yes. Supposed to be really, really good.
Cool. Very
So,
cool.
again, a platformer. Also started buying some of the card games, the Master System card games, because I have an adapter for that as well. I only have one so far.
Very nice.
I forgot what it was. And then I picked up a couple of boxed NES games.
Okay.
I don't often go box. Usually doesn't bother me too much. But these two I thought were very special. One is just for nostalgic purposes. Donkey Kong Classics.
Okay, that's awesome.
This game was probably the first game and probably the game I rented the most. The first game I ever rented and the most I've ever rented was this.
Nice. All right. Very
Loved it.
cool.
Ripping the back, it's all taped up, but you know what? I'll take
Yeah.
it. It means it
No.
was used. You know
Right.
what I mean?
You know, sentimental too. And
Absolutely.
it's a nice addition to your collection.
Very, very nice.
Yep.
And this, I never heard of the game before. It caught my eye. It's not a side scroller, but it kind of has the feel to a side scroller shoot 'em up. But I think the cover art's one of the best for the N64. It's called Cybernoid from Acclaim.
Oh, I remember Cybernoid.
I don't remember this game at
Oh
all.
yeah, no, I do.
So
I remember
Cybernoid
actually it's funny. I remember renting that.
from Acclaim. I'm trying to get focused. Not going to focus. But
Nice.
nevertheless, look at that cover art. I am
Yeah.
loving that cover art.
Really cool.
That I wish
Back when cover art
I could
really
have.
didn't show what the game was.
No, because when you look at the game, it is completely different.
Yes.
But still, that's a beauty.
Very
So
cool.
pick that one up as well. And then finally, a couple of PS1
years. Mercifully.
How dare you? So this has got a weird back story to it.
Uh-oh.
It's a sealed PS1 game.
Oh.
I mean, totally sealed. Shooter, Starfighter, Senvian. But here's the thing. A lot of people have sealed N64, sealed PlayStation games. This literally came from the factory, like 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
It's not a new game, though. It's not a brand new PS1 game. Okay. It's just the company, either Success or Age Tech, still had a bunch of copies of these lying around. This is back.
Oh.
If you look at the cover art, right?
Yeah.
You may notice this is part of a budget series that came out near the end of the PS1 run. Mm-hmm. You could tell because it has this type of font and type.
Yep.
They had chess, bowling, some other shoot 'em ups. They were $10 brand new back then, like in early 2000s. So, but a buddy of mine like ordered like 12 of these. And I'm like, oh, they're a brand new game. Like, no, they're just brand new from the factory. they just had them lying around.
They just have them. Well, yeah, I mean, if they're just sitting in the warehouse.
That's kind of cool.
Why not?
So I don't know if I should open it or not. Like, I'm torn between it.
You should have bought two.
I still might.
Yeah, there you go. And what am I looking at? Oh, ew. Get that off the screen. What? No. No. Wait a second.
Hold on. For the listeners, here is a copy. And we're on the 25th anniversary of Wannabe, the release of Wannabe, one of the greatest pop bands of all time, in my opinion, the greatest pop band of all time, for the PlayStation 1, Spice World.
No.
And with a tag of $319.99, which is absolutely not what I paid for.
Okay. Holy cow.
It's not that much. It is not that much.
I was just going to say, if you paid that much for, I'm not even kidding you, I would get on a flight right now to come over there and smack you.
When I got it, first I saw Game On. They put a picture of like new PS1 games they got in a trade, and I saw this. Because I have no problem saying this. I'm a huge Spice Girls fan.
Yes, you are.
And again, 25th anniversary. I pre-ordered.
It's disgusting.
I pre-ordered their 25th anniversary cassette single of Wannabe. Mm-hmm. And apparently there is a vinyl shortage in the world, so now I gotta wait.
Yeah.
But I had Spice World. It is a terrible game. It is a terrible game. Nothing to do with Spice Girls. Just the game itself is terrible.
Yeah.
But I traded it back long ago. Like I was talking about last weekend. Like there was a time where we didn't have a problem trading back games. It was just what we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
because we never thought backwards.
Exactly.
We never thought, oh, we'll go back to this eventually. It's like, oh, new system, new stuff.
And no regrets. No regrets of that. No, but nevertheless, as a Spice Girls fan, I wanted to collect this, especially with the timing of 25th anniversary.
Right.
So I go, so I'm like, hold it. Hold Spice World. And Tristan's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure no one's gonna pick it up. I'm like, just put it on the side anyway. So he puts it on the side. I walk in, Smithtown. So Jay was working.
Yeah.
So he hands it to me with that price tag of $319.99. And I was like, what? Pretty much the exact same reaction that Anthony had. I was like, are you kidding me? And I flipped it over and I saw the real price. I was like, all right, you got
it. Oh, they just put that on there?
No, they did. They totally did it just to mess with me.
Thank God. I would have to call Tristan out on that.
So very funny from them, but I probably would have paid half of that. But nevertheless, Spice World for the PS1. And that basically was everything that I picked up.
All right.
I picked up after being serviced my Dreamcast and my Sega CD. And they needed new batteries.
Okay. So after, let me rephrase that for you. You picked that stuff up, including your Sega CD and Dreamcast that were serviced.
Yes.
Thank you.
What did I say?
You said after being serviced.
Oh, well, you know, that's a little extra. So
I didn't know they did that at Game On.
That's the secret menu.
Yeah. So let's no.
So I got my Dreamcast, got my Sega CD back. They just needed new batteries, and they're working. Like I had to still initialize the format, the ROM on the Sega CD, but it seems to be holding, which is good.
Good.
And the Dreamcast kept resetting the clock, even though it was plugged in. I let it sit overnight, so I got to see if that's going to work, which I'm sure it will.
Well, but here's crossed it does.
Before we wrap things up for the day, I found something interesting. So a few weeks ago, we had our friend Jack on the show.
Yes.
Talk about emulators, talk about all this stuff. And we had, you know, Aaron, who listens to the show as well. He's always talking about emulators with me and stuff that he's creating. Like, he just pre-ordered, Aaron just pre-ordered, I'm not going to get the name of it, so I forget. But it's like, it's basically like a budget TurboGrafx CD that will attach to the original PC Engine and will not require the boot up card that they used to have to have. So
very cool.
So very cool. So I plug in my Dreamcast. I have my Hyperkin HDMI wire hooked up to the Dreamcast. That works beautifully. Put in Royal Rumble, played it a little bit. Like, I was just more testing the system. It was kind of late when I hooked it up. But working, I forgot how good Royal Rumble is on that. Very arcadey, but it's fun.
A lot of fun.
And then I put in Ms. Pac-Man Maze Madness. I pop that in. And then I got a message. This game is not compatible with the AV wire you currently have hooked up to your Dreamcast. Please swap it out and reboot the game.
That's very interesting.
The game that I rebought a Dreamcast for. The very game that actually made me think I already had Dreamcast games. Ms. Pac-Man Maze Madness. Ends up having it on the PS1. But the game that I loved on the Dreamcast will not play with a Hyperkin HDMI wire plugged in. And I don't know why. I can't even fathom the reasoning for this.
It just doesn't translate to HD. That's all.
It doesn't really do that. It's still like in like, it's not, it doesn't pop it up to 4K or 1080. Like, it's still,
it's just all a coding thing. It's just not compatible, Larry. Possible. That's all.
And then all I heard in my head is Jake and Aaron being like, well, we told you, HDMI wires from Hyperkin, you got to get the converter, you got to get this, you got to get that. That's all I heard. That's all I heard in my head as I'm watching this thing just spin and being like, sorry, your dumb wire doesn't work.
Why do you think they tell you those things?
But I'm just so confused, like, because it wasn't really, like, there were no other connectors to the Dreamcast. So Jake, Aaron, or anybody who's listening, I just want to know. Now I'm just curious because I have a game now that's useless.
Yep.
Why would a game like Ms. Pac-Man Maze Madness not work with the HDMI wire?
While you're asking Jake and Aaron, please ask Jack as well.
Damn, I keep saying Jake. You know, it's the E that's in there, and it's just the way the name is spelt. I'm sorry. Jack, Jake, you know what? The guy. I apologize.
Sick or Jessic. What? We can call him Jake.
That too, probably. But nevertheless, I apologize. It boggles my mind. So someone please tell me why you think that is. I'm not switching out the wire. Apparently, I have now a Dreamcast game that's useless.
There you go.
We'll see what happens. So
shucks.
But other than that, that's my week.
Well, and a good week it was.
I think so.
You bought a lot of video games. I bought a lot of furniture. That's where my money's going right now.
Very
video
good.
Games right now because I'm in mid move. So
there you go. You have a lot. You have that castle looks bigger than the other one. So
I was just gonna say, you know, like look how much. Yeah, can you imagine how much furniture I gotta buy to fill this thing?
Is it really a hump to get into some of those rooms? I know a lot of them are locked until you're there for probably a few months.
Yeah, I don't understand the numbers yet. So it's like, you know. I understand numbers when it comes to the bathroom. I don't understand numbers when it comes to other rooms.
Also, don't look up into the ceiling.
Yeah, I heard about that. So I've yet to do that. So
anything else you got, Ant? Anything else you
want to add? I think we're good for this week. I think we've covered everything we need to cover.
Ant, where can they find us?
Oh my God. Do they want to find us? Right. You guys can find us at facebook.com/retrogamerspodcast. You can find us on Instagram at retrogamerspodcast, on Twitter at retrogamerspod, or you can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can watch us on YouTube and IGTV, or you can email us at email@theretrogamers.com.
Yes. And please on YouTube, hit that thumbs up. That's what gets us the views, not just views. So definitely thumbs up, share us, let the world know about us. And until next week, enjoy your furniture, I guess.
I will. I will enjoy it. We'll see if I stay in this place for more than a week. I don't know. I'm not too sure.
I can't even think of all the castles. So
I'll find one. Trust me. If there's a castle out there, I will move there.
With that, folks, we'll catch you everywhere next week on the Retro Gamers Podcast.